A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies! Oh my God.
That was like, I think, the worst one so far.
I hated it.
I hated it, too. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I am Emily.
I am Lisa.
Thank you for listening to our show today. Oh, my gosh. What a show we have today. I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Me, too.
Let's just fucking jump right in.
How are you, Emily?
I'm good. I ate a lot of cheesecake today, and then I really wanted to take a nap, and now I'm here instead. So... Just as a disclaimer.
I drank like a big gulp of horchata, and now I want to take a nap.
Yeah, let's just take a nap. You guys want to turn the podcast off? Take a nap?
Just turn it down a little.
Just turn it down. This is me lullabying you.
I like those sounds you were making.
I'm thinking of becoming a lounge singer. what's going on? I hear you have an update on the Kim K's Hollywood game.
I deleted it from my phone.
Oh, my God.
And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I cried like a little baby.
You cried deleting
it? I cried.
I
cried hot, angry, sad tears.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. So this is the Kim Kardashian's Hollywood mobile phone game.
Which I've been, like, stupidly addicted to for an entire month.
Or, like, very intelligently addicted to.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. That's very charitable of you.
I know. Thank you.
So I just thought, you know what? This game is not giving me joy anymore. I'm just sort of playing
you
it.
You applied the life-changing magic of tidying up to the game.
I did.
Wow.
But I was playing, like, really, just not in a healthy way. So I spent all the remaining money I had on a gray shroud, which I put on, and then I took one last picture with Kim Kardashian in the game, and then I deleted it.
Oh, my God. That's so dramatic.
I know.
Wait, so why did you cry when you deleted it?
Because I just immediately wanted to keep playing. It was like I was just cutting myself off so harshly, and then my boyfriend was like scrolling and trying to find another game for me to play, but nothing felt as good, and it was just like, yeah, it was so sad and dramatic. And the whole next day he was like, you're not even gonna miss it, you're gonna feel so much better. But I did miss it all day. And
really?
I told everyone at work. They're all really supportive.
Wait, so you can't find another game that is as... But you,
well,
you
now, said, now I just started playing Animal Crossing New Leaf. And
okay.
So now that's my new game.
That's your new game.
It's similar in a lot of ways, but it's less contemptuous of its players, I feel like. It's like a nice, gentle game, and it'll tell you, like, hey, you should get some rest. Maybe stop playing for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck you, game.
Yeah, I'm like, let me binge. This is how I play video games. There's no healthy way for me to do this.
Aparna Nancherla has a really funny stand-up joke right now that I'm going to butcher, where she talks about when Netflix asks you, are
yes.
you still watching? She's like, yes, I'm still watching. I'm always watching. Stop micromanaging me.
Oh, God. I think Netflix is going to start to get worried about me. I watched 18 episodes of television the other day.
What did you watch?
In one day. I watched all of Garfunkel and Oates and then all of Playing House.
Oh, man. That's on Netflix now? I love Playing House.
Oh, no. Playing House was not on Netflix. Oh, you're right. You just reminded me. It's on Hulu. So
okay.
I jumped. But
you jumped. Yeah.
I definitely watched 2 seasons of television in one day.
That's a totally normal amount.
Cool.
In
Thanks.
My life.
Okay, good.
The weirdest thing to me is that it's like, oh, you watched a TV show you hadn't already watched 3 times before? Like, that's what I usually watch all day.
I mean,
just like Frasier again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still...
30 Rock again.
I'm still watching all of Friends again.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't do it again. I think this one last time through, once it went on Netflix, I'm like, that's it. I'm done.
It's pretty terrible.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
You know? Our
it's
lives
rough.
Are really hard.
It's, yeah.
I went to yesterday. Today is, we're recording this a few weeks in advance. And so today is Easter. Yesterday I went to the Blessing of the Animals, which I don't have a lot to say about it. It was just a cool thing that they do on Olvera Street in Los Angeles, where people bring their pets to get blessed by the priests on the day before Easter, and they dress them up in costumes and stuff.
I've always wanted to go.
Oh, my God. I should have made you come with me.
I think my dog would hate it.
Indeed.
Yeah. She'd be so anxious.
Yeah, I was talking to Adam about it, and he was like, I'm pretty sure Indy's an atheist.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to just dress up like a household object as an animal and see if they bless it.
Like your plant.
Yeah.
I bet they'd bless your plant.
Oh, that would be really funny, too.
Yeah. Your ficus.
R.I.P. my jade plant, which I left on the curb.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was diseased. To anyone who was following that online. Oh, I had a dream last night. This is kind of unrelated. Do you ever, I'm not going to tell you the whole dream story. I'm only bringing it up to say, like, sometimes I write jokes in my dreams and I remember them in the morning. And are they good or not? The one that I wrote last night, I think for a dream joke is pretty good. I had a dream, for an awake joke is terrible.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to hear it.
I had a dream last night that I was helping my friend write roast jokes about Norm MacDonald. And the joke that I came up with in the dream was, Norm MacDonald is so irrelevant that even the Latin language won't take his calls.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
For a dream joke.
Yeah. For a dream joke.
It's a little dry for IRL, but.
Well, and then I told it to my boyfriend this morning, and he was like, Latin is pretty relevant.
Oh, my God.
Which is like the nerdiest reaction you can possibly have.
That's pretty good.
Thank you so much.
Nice job, Emily's unconscious.
And in the dream I went through, I was like, what's a thing that's irrelevant? I guess Latin? Like, I went through the whole thing.
Did you wake up all tired, like you hadn't rested at all?
I woke up, all my bed sheets were just stuffed into my mouth. What else is going on? I'm going on tour. I've mentioned it on the previous podcast, but I'm excited about it. I'm going all over the country.
Are you nervous?
I'm nervous if people are going to come or not. I hope people come. You guys, please come to my shows. But I'm not nervous about the shows. I'm really excited about it. I feel like in LA I don't get to do like long sets that much. I don't get to perform as much as I'd like to. And when I'm out on the road, it's like I get really good again.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be good at stand-up again. So I'm excited about that. I'm also going to be doing stand-up on Late Night with Seth Meyers on April 23rd. I don't know when this comes out, but
exciting.
Yeah.
TV.
I'm excited about it and nervous. I'm nervous about that. That's the thing I'm nervous about.
You'll be great. You've done Conan twice.
This is different. This is broadcast television. I've never been on broadcast television before. I've only ever been on cable.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So, in conclusion.
I liked your little button at the end of that.
Yeah. Don't put me on television. Is, I think, the point of that. What was I going to say? Should we do one on fun?
Sure.
Oh, wait. If you want to see me on tour, emilyheller.tumblr.com/tour.
She's going to be all over the place, you
all
guys.
All over the place. San Francisco, Denver, Austin, Madison, Nashville, Atlanta, Charleston, New Orleans.
East Coast, West
Seattle,
Coast, middle.
Seattle.
Top.
Portland. Yeah. Top. Bottom. Boston. New York.
Inside. Okay. Outside.
Upside down. What's that song from Empire where it's like...
I haven't seen Empire yet.
Lisa, watch Empire already.
Girl,
Jesus
okay,
Christ.
It's on my list.
Yeah, don't... Instead of watching every episode of two different... Oh, that's the next season of television you should watch in one day.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's time for One on Fun.
You go first.
God damn it.
Oh, fuck.
No, okay. Let's do this. Lisa.
Yes?
Do you have any plans for summer sun fun in the sun?
Specifically, what am I going to do that's fun in the sun?
What are your summer fun in the sun plans.
She's putting her hand on her hip so awkwardly.
I'm being real jaunty right now.
I hope I get a break from work that's long. So that would be nice. That sounded sad. I'm going to read a book in a hammock.
Yeah, you got a nice hammock.
Yeah. I'm going to drink some iced tea. I'm going to go on some hikes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And swim in a pool.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, someone turned that into a summer jam. Someone remixed that Lisa's quotes just from that into a song of the summer. Please, and we will play it on the show, I promise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emily, what's a place you'd really like to go this summer?
I'm going to all sorts of places on my tour.
Yeah. Are you, after that, are you just like, fuck it, I'm going to stay at home for 5 months? You like to travel.
I like to travel. I feel like I'm going to be a little burnt out on being not in Los Angeles. I'm hopefully going to come back to a writing job, but, I want to just go to fucking Raging Waters again and again this summer. It's so good.
I don't know if I like Raging Waters, but...
You don't like water parks.
I don't.
This is a thing about you that is a flaw.
I'm sorry. I have many flaws. This might be my greatest. But if you want to go swimming or go on a hike with me...
Yeah.
I would like to do that.
I would like to hike more. And this is not a thing that I generally care about... But it is a thing that happened, which is that I just found out that I gained 10 pounds since I started dating my boyfriend, which is kind of a lot for that amount of time, which is not that long.
10 pounds.
10 pounds. Yeah. I honestly don't care. Like, it's not like how much I love my body has changed at all. But I do think it's probably indicative of like some bad behavioral choices in terms of like what I've been eating and how much
going
exercise
on dates
I've been getting. Yeah, I guess so. And just like eating decadently off the platter of love. Ew.
Oh my God. Are you guys just eating sushi off each other's bodies?
That's for me to know. And actually, no, we're not doing that. I'm not even going to pretend like that's a thing that I would ever consider.
Just try to eat something healthier off each other's bodies.
Yeah. Oh, no, asparagus.
Don't.
Gross. No, yeah. So I'm trying to hike more is the point.
Yeah,
of that.
Me too. I think I just gain 10 pounds with every season of TV that I work on. And then I spend the break losing it. And then
I feel like I gain 10 pounds for every year that I live in Los Angeles and don't have to walk anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's another thing that happens here.
LA sucks.
In conclusion, fuck LA.
Fuck it.
Where's the best place to live?
That's a really good question. Probably like...
We'll save it for the next one on fun.
French, southern France countryside.
I like how you use the most annoying person's voice.
Oh, yeah, that was an annoying person who said that.
We'll be right back with Wiki of the Week.
We're Dave and Graham, and we host Stop Podcasting Yourself.
We started this podcast back in 2008. Before, podcasts had to have any kind of concept, so we don't really know how to describe it.
It's kind of like going to the barber shop if your barber knew all about the first season of the show Elf.
It's like a 90-minute massage where the masseuse is two people talking to each other with a third person.
It's like the Monsters of Metal tour, only quieter, no music, and just talking.
It's like a makeout session, but without the lips touching, they just talk a lot.
Download Stop Podcasting Yourself from iTunes or MaximumFun.org.
Welcome to a Wiki of the Week.
I like how you said that.
Thank you. This week's Wikipedia... Well, let's first introduce our guest. Oh, my God. What am I doing?
Oh, yeah.
He's a senior editor at BuzzFeed. And also, just, you know what? A delightful guy. Please welcome Louis Peitzman.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Louis. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for calling me delightful.
Anytime.
Are.
Literally
it's a high
anytime.
Bar.
Yeah. If you text me at 4 in the morning and be like, am I delightful? I'll text you later when I wake up and say yes.
All right, you wouldn't wake up, though, and tell me that then.
I don't... you know what? I wanted to say I would, but that's... I believe in honesty, and I wouldn't.
Okay. Well, now I know.
This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by J.J. Loy.
Thank you, J.J.
And also multiple people have actually asked us to talk on this topic, which is interesting, because they really want our hot take.
Yeah.
It's the Wikipedia page for Reborn Doll, which I highly recommend. Well, I don't know if I do recommend Google image searching it, but I mean, it will illuminate your understanding of what it is we're talking about today.
Yeah, you should.
A reborn doll is a manufactured vinyl doll that has been transformed to resemble a human baby with as much realism as possible. The process of creating a reborn doll is referred to as reborning, and the doll artists are referred to as reborners. Reborn dolls are also known as living dolls or unliving dolls.
Oh, both. Either one will do.
I can't decide which is more terrifying.
Yeah.
They're actually both really unsettling.
Yeah,
because it's like, it's not undead, it's unliving.
Unliving.
Right.
Yeah.
I also like that they call it reborning and not just, like, rebirth or, like...
Yeah.
I feel like there was an easier way to say that.
All of the words are wrong.
Everything's wrong about it.
Yeah, everything's... all of the words sound a little wrong because they know the idea is wrong.
Right.
And if you guys look at the pictures of these, they're, like, hyper-realistic. And I think I saw, like, a documentary about women who own these dolls. It's very analogous. And I hate to say that, like, it's like... real dolls for women, but it kind of is.
Yeah, because it's filling an emotional need that isn't being filled by a real person,
by a real child. Yeah. Like, just in the same way that men who own real dolls will start to like think of them as a real person, like a lot of women will like mother these dolls as if they are real babies.
Yeah.
I just got like a horrible image of like trying to breastfeed a reborn doll.
Oh, God.
And just kind of like shoving it in there and just,
and
sorry,
just
it got really,
happens.
In my head, it got so graphic.
I'm sure that that has happened.
I'm sure it has too. That's why I'm like, it's a thing. Like,
yeah. There, in the documentary I saw, it would be like women would take them out in strollers.
Yeah.
And then people would come up and be like, oh, how old is your baby? And they'd be like, 2 months. Like, answer and then like let the person figure out that it was a doll.
Oh my god, imagine if that were you and you had to like be polite.
Yeah.
I don't think I could. I don't think I'm capable of that kind of politeness.
Be like, oh, your child is literally plastic. It's not a real
vinyl.
It's vinyl.
Vinyl.
The point is your baby is hard. And that's weird.
Yeah, the point is that's not a baby.
Well, that's judgmental. That's a little bit judgmental.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's hard to read this and not be so judgmental of the people who, like, use them for that. I mean, like, I guess it's better to, like, I don't know. There's mixed...
It's sort of like, it's not harming anyone, but it's also creepy.
But it's also, yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. I'm really glad that I don't feel that feeling that women feel where they really want a baby. Like,
yeah.
The idea of this thing doesn't appeal to me at all.
No.
Like, nothing about...
But you could just pick a sane person who doesn't want, like, a vinyl child.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a lot happening there.
I guess I just feel like I am never going to get to the point where I want one of these, which just feels like a relief.
But are reborn puppies a thing? Because now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Although that would also make me kind of sad.
Yeah.
Just,
like, you're holding, like, 6 of them.
Oh. my parents, we used to have a golden retriever, and... He got put down, and my parents had 2 dogs. They had a golden retriever and a little terrier, and the golden retriever was older and got put down, and so one of their friends, as like a nice gesture, just got them like a life-size golden retriever stuffed animal.
Whoa.
And the terrier just made it his girlfriend just right away. He has just fucked that thing to death. And it is like every time I go home, it's held together with more and more duct tape.
Oh.
And it's just like, ugh.
Did he think it was the old dog letting him hump
it? I hope not. I don't think he did. How could he?
What if he did? What if he's like, well, now this dog's finally letting me hump it. Doesn't seem angry anymore.
Oh.
Used to growl.
The duct tape is a really good detail.
Yeah.
I don't know if good's the word I'd use.
Imagine a reborn doll held together with duct tape.
Oh, God.
The stuff of nightmares.
This is, yeah, I mean, apologies in advance to anyone who's having nightmares from this, but I guess if you're not looking at the pictures, it won't be.
But you should be.
There's so many different segments on this page. I don't know exactly.
Do they talk about, well, so I guess the way I learned about reborn dolls was through, like, people who were making them for Harry Potter characters, which is, like, a whole subset.
There is a whole subset.
Yeah, there are themed ones.
J.J. Loy actually sent us a link to this, too. There's, like, a Voldemort doll.
Yes.
That's, like, the scariest shit.
That one's the worst.
Of all time.
It's absolutely awful.
Because also, by the way, that's not what Voldemort looked like as a baby.
No, it's not.
He looked normal.
That bothered me, too. They have, they also have, like, Lupin, and he's, like, got, like, werewolf hair on him. I'm like, he wasn't a werewolf as a baby.
Yeah.
You idiot. Dummy.
I like how I definitely think the worst possible reaction you can have to this is to be opposed to it on like accuracy grounds.
That's not canon.
Exactly. It's not. J.K. Rowling would scoff at your reborn doll.
Oh boy, Tonks is terrifying.
They're
Look
all scary.
That.
That's yeah, they're really all scary. Really scary.
But I, that's there's how I, an aspect to this that I do like, which is that there's a lot of artistry in creating them. Like there are artists on eBay, like. Using real hair and painting them, and it's kind of well done. They look really real. Like, they have veins in their skin and stuff.
I mean, and that is the deal with the reborn dolls, too, is, like, they are so realistic looking that people do stop you on the street and think it's a real child.
Mm-hmm.
So the appearance of the doll depends on the creator. However, certain reborn artists allow customers to customize their doll, usually using a photograph to replicate a particular infant.
Oh, my God. What if we, like, put our money together... And bought one.
Who would we get it of? Like, what kind
what
of reborn
what if we just got one that looked like my adult face? Hey!
I think if we could combine our features to find out what it would look like if the three of us raised a child.
The three of us. Ew.
I like this idea.
Just spitballing here. Okay.
I'm imagining because, like, you know, I feel like the reborn dolls are kind of fulfilling a need, right? And, like, I have a need to know what our offspring would look like.
But it's never going to happen.
It can't happen. There's three of us. So, like, let's take this beyond what science can show us.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
You're welcome for that idea.
There's three different, I guess there's a few different ways to make it. You can reborn it, which is like you take an existing doll and then...
you customize it.
Customize it, I guess.
And
then a newborning, if a reborn is created from a kit as opposed to a whole manufactured doll, it may be called newborning. All of it. So
this
upsetting.
Reminds me so much of certain aspects of model horse collecting that I was into.
Oh, yeah.
As a young lady, people would, you know, those like plastic brayer horses. People would customize them where they would heat up parts of them so that they could remove the plastic around and rebuild them. And they would make them as real as possible and sew, like, real hair onto them and, like, give them, like, genitals and stuff. Like, it got really creepy.
Oh, boy.
I was totally on board until you said the genitals part.
Oh, yeah. No.
And for some reason, that's where I was, like...
Me too. I was like, these are so beautiful. Wait, why are you giving it such a, like, sculpted dick? Like, like, it just went down this rabbit hole of making it as real as possible, and it got totally uncanny the way these babies do.
Oh, man.
But
yeah.
I admire, the hobbyist aspect of it. Like, the
are we all... Wait a minute. Are we now all thinking about whether or not these reborn dolls are anatomically correct?
I don't know if they do. If they are. Like, some of these pictures make it seem like they're made out of the vinyl dolls that don't have...
Right, but that's if you're, like, reborning. But what if you're newborning?
That's a really good question.
Like, I don't want to think about this, but I feel like we have to.
I'm definitely thinking about it. A lot now.
There's a section of this page called Social Issues and Reactions.
Mm.
Almost all reborn customers are women, particularly older women. The process of buying a reborn can be done to simulate an adoption process rather than a prosaic sale of a product. As part of this, the dolls often come with fake birth certificates or adoption certificates. Many women collect reborns as they would a non-reborn doll, while others purchase them to fill a void of a lost child and may treat reborns as living babies. Media features and public receptions have used such adjectives as creepy to describe the reborns. This can be explained by the uncanny valley hypothesis. This states that as objects become more lifelike, they gain an increasing empathetic response until a certain point in which the response changes to repulsion. Which is totally true for this.
Guilty as charged.
Department stores have refused to stock the dolls because of this reaction, claiming they are too lifelike.
Yeah, that's a good
policy.
Macy's
is like, no.
Many reborn owners are simply doll collectors, while others have gone through miscarriages, have had no means for adoption, or suffer from empty nest syndrome. They may utilize the dolls as substitute children or forever babies who will never grow. Some women dress the dolls, wash their hair, and may even take them for walks in strollers and take them shopping. Reborn hobbyists refer to the emotional response to holding their dolls as cuddle therapy. Studies suggest cuddling a baby causes a release of hormones which produce a sense of emotional well-being, and some psychologists believe that this may happen with realistic dolls as well. Consultant psychiatrist Professor Raj Persuad explains mothering a real newborn baby causes the hormone oxytocin, releases the hormone oxytocin in the mother, and hypothesizes that this may explain why reborn mothers become emotionally attached to the reborn doll. For grieving parents who form emotional bonds with reborn dolls, some child bereavement counselors advise against parents substituting their deceased child with the dolls. Reborn mothers contend that they are not replacing children, but remembering them. Psychiatrist Sue Varma, teacher at the NYU School of Medicine, says mothering reborn dolls rather than just collecting them can become a problem when it is used as prop and becomes the person's only form of socializing.
That's what I was wondering.
I have a couple of questions. So yeah. you go ahead.
I was just wondering, is it going to help a sad parent who's lost their child or hurt them?
It's unclear. It sounds like professionals think it's not a good idea.
But like on a short-term basis, I think it could probably do a little bit of good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to, like, I don't think that it's good to be like, this is a bad way to grieve, you know, necessarily. But it does seem like it can break your, if you are really going through that trauma, like, breaking your relationship with reality is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, maybe it's a problem that they look so realistic. Maybe you should just be hugging like something warm and soft.
I also I'd be super supportive if they were like holding just a normal doll.
Yeah.
And if that was like part of your therapy.
Like a teddy bear.
There's something about how creepy
about how
real they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so my questions are, one, are these ever used for pranks? Because I see a lot of prank. I don't like pranks, but I feel like there are a lot of prank ideas in the doll. And two,
I think they're so expensive that maybe
if you're a rich prankster,
well, pranksters are usually getting closer to the law enforcement incidents section of this.
Oh, oh great, okay. Well, my other question though is just imagining like if you're a grieving parent, like I'm not going to judge those people, but imagine if you're like an empty nester, your kid goes to college, and the kid comes home from college, and like
mom has
like a crib with a fucking reborn doll in it.
What if it's just a realistic teenager?
That's
just masturbating.
Masturbating and sulky and playing video games.
Oh.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's one thing if you've lost a child, but if your kid's alive and just at college, that doesn't make as much, that's like less sympathetic
And you know these parents are going to favor the reborn doll.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, I'm sorry, but like, I'd rather spend time with my non-talking vinyl baby.
Yeah. Wait, I kind of want one now.
Why?
Because then I'll never be tempted to have children.
Oh.
Like a real child? I'll just have like a little fake child.
I feel like
I
maybe you will be tempted
to
have a real child.
It could have the opposite effect. You'd be like, this is so cute, but I wish they could like coo at me.
Yeah. I can put a little sound box
coo
in there.
Or those pigeons. Babies make a noise. Babies make
you
noises.
People coo at
babies.
At babies.
They kind of make a thing. Yeah, whatever.
Just adopt some pigeons.
Yeah, there you go.
Psychiatrist Gail Saltz with the New York Presbyterian Hospital supports the use of reborns for people who do not want to make the commitment of having a real child.
Oh, yeah.
And also,
that's me.
And also to comfort bereaved parents. So this is a psychiatrist who does support it for grieving parents.
Hmm.
She offers that in this case, the reborn may symbolize a step in the grieving process. Concern should only come if someone who lost a baby grows too attached to their reborn because it could indicate their grief is not getting resolved. In this case, the likeliness of the doll to the deceased child, the likeness of the doll to the deceased child risks being harmful as a permanent replacement.
Hmm.
Holding the dolls can help calm elderly residents at a...
Oh, they don't know?
Maybe. Oh, God, that's terrible.
No, that's good, because if they get confused and throw it, it's better if it's not a real baby.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so law enforcement incidents. Reborn dolls look so real they have been mistaken for real babies. In July 2008, police in Queensland, Australia smashed a car window to rescue what seemed like an unconscious baby, only to find it was a reborn doll.
Oh, God.
The police stated that the doll was incredibly lifelike, and that bystanders who thought a baby was dying were frightened by the incident. A similar incident was reported in the United States, in which police broke the window of a Hummer to save a baby that turned out to be a reborn doll.
Also because it was a Hummer. And they were just like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, of course a fucking Hummer driver would leave their baby in the car.
What kind of weirdo has both a Hummer and a reborn doll?
I know.
Like, really,
that's
paints
like
a picture.
That's an empty nester, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
That's someone with like kids at college who's like, I'm going to invest in a Hummer and a reborn doll.
God.
Rule of both worlds.
In 2009, Reborners uncovered a blogging hoax in which a woman, who ABC News described as an anti-abortion blogger, claimed she was pregnant with a terminally ill child. She opened a P.O. box in order to receive gifts, money, and prayers. The hoax was uncovered when Reborners reading the blog realized that the pictures of the baby posted on the blog were actually a reborn doll that they recognized through the familiar reborn sculpture. Weird.
But actually, I would not be surprised, though, if that woman who runs an anti-abortion blog also has a Hummer.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It could be the same woman.
I was in Orange County today, and I saw an SUV with, like, 5 different anti-abortion bumper stickers on it. And it's like,
God.
Just one would do. Like, there were 5 all in the exact same spot on the car, too.
My mind has changed.
I read the first one and I was like, And then the second one I was like, okay, I'm listening. And the third one I was like, well, that's a great point. The fourth one I was like, okay. And the fifth one I was like, yeah, okay, perfect amount. I don't know how much more. I mean, this page is really long. It's really creepy. And I don't know. I don't want to be too judgmental about it because...
I keep going back and forth. I keep being like, we should let people live.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, but they're so creepy.
Yeah.
But then, and also, yeah, I mean, it is the Uncanny Valley thing that's creepy about it. They're just creepy looking, like, without
right.
placing any sort of, like, I have thought about it and it's creepy because it's, like, just looking at them is creeping
yeah.
me out.
And for the record, real dolls are also creepy.
Yes, yeah. exactly. Yeah.
So it's not like we're judging only baby dolls.
It's just one more of those things that would be super hard to explain to aliens. You know what I mean? Like...
like, but there's so many things it would be hard to explain.
I know, but with this one in particular, I'm like, there's so like it's.
How would we explain podcasts? Those are strange to me too. No, this is weirder.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit. I mean, like podcasts would be easy to explain because it's just like it's people communicating
it's
with each other,
and
it's a way of I don't know. I can't explain podcasts.
You don't think aliens have little like reborn alien dolls that they carry around?
I bet they do.
Oh, how cute would that be?
I kind of doubt that aliens like reproduce in the way that we do.
No, like the aliens from the movie, like aliens, they have little like face hugger dolls.
Yeah,
they're so cute.
Or I feel like aliens. Again, we're basing this on nothing, but I feel like chances are aliens don't resemble any creature that walks the earth. So they probably reproduce in a way we don't even know about. Like they put a thing in a tree and then the thing crawls out of the tree as a worm and then turns into a bird or something.
Okay, yeah. Sure. Either way, they can have a doll of that.
I guess that's true.
Aliens have issues too.
Yeah, I mean, it is like, it is interesting that like the reason why these dolls exist is because the dominant species on this planet is mammalian. Instead of, like, if we were a type of animal that reproduced by laying eggs, we wouldn't have anything like this.
We would have weird egg collections.
I mean, yeah. I do like to carry eggs around. Just fills an emotional
Happy
need.
Happy Easter, you guys.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything more you'd like to talk about in regards to reborn dolls?
I just mentioned that the first time I heard about these, I was reading an article by one of my favorite writers, Rob Walker, for the New York Times, and I highly recommend reading his article about it.
What did he say?
He summarized it, but he interviewed some people, and he just kind of describes it in a fun way. He writes a lot about marketing and branding and things people like to buy.
All right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of technical stuff in this page about how they're made if you are thinking about making your own.
I do love that stuff. I really want to, like, look at some eBay listings and...
Yeah.
I mean, they're just... There's a lot of craft that goes into it.
There could be a good use for one of these.
I kind of want to learn how to make one and then make one for you that looks like your face.
In terms of, like, the list of things we've come up with on the podcast that we want to maybe raise money for... I would like to prioritize getting Jackie Stallone to give me a butt reading.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I am so... I tried to do that.
That's
I wanted
number
to do
one.
That.
You tried to do that? Okay.
No, like, as I wanted to, like, pitch a story where, like, Jackie Stallone gave me a butt reading.
Yeah.
Really? And they wouldn't go for it?
I didn't get very far in the pitching process.
Why?
It's very expensive, and she's... kind of a quack.
Yeah.
Can you call someone a quack?
Oh, you mean like she's not one of those legitimate rumpologists?
Well, the thing is, like, rumpology, like, as we all know, it, like, has its roots in, like, ancient something, and I feel like there are probably some people who can really do it. She's 100 years old. That's not even much of an exaggeration. She's like, what, 90? She's 90.
She's a million.
She's a million years old, and I just feel like, you know, it's not really...
Is rheumatology a skill that, like, deteriorates as you get older? I feel like the older you get, the more you know.
Well, my butt has deteriorated as I've gotten older, and I worry that it's not as fresh a reading as it could have been a couple of years ago. But
yeah,
also,
like,
I just...
reading now is like, you're sad.
Your butt dimples are kind of filling out. No, I don't know. I could pitch that again. All right, I'll do that.
Oh, my God. Please pitch that again.
But I always, like, want to pitch things like that where it's, like, my own sick fascination with something. Like, here it's a combination of, like, my butt, psychic readings, and Jackie Stallone. Like, I just kind of want to explore all of that.
It's super lucky that all of those things converge on this one topic.
It's kind of amazing, actually.
I mean, you kind of can't turn down that opportunity.
Oh, I forgot to say we called her. That's the thing I didn't mention.
Oh, you did.
So outside of this, my ex and I were like on her website and we're like, there's a number here, and we like called it and she answered.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was definitely her.
What did she say? Was she like, "Hi, it's Bracky"?
I'm like, "Hi, yeah, Bracky." great reference to Celebrity Big Brother UK.
Thank you.
That I'm sure everyone at home is laughing along with. No, we called and it was like, it was her being like, "Hello?" And then it's my great Jackie Stallone. And then I think we just hung up because what do you say to that?
Oh, you panicked.
You hung up? Oh, my God.
I think there was a panic moment because you didn't think she was going to really answer.
No.
I thought it was going to be like a voicemail, like saying, like, "Hello, here's where you like, tell me about you and your butt, and I call you back." Which, by the way that she does it is not, she doesn't actually look at your butt. You sit in, like, ink, and you make an ass print.
Yeah. Yes.
Which, by the way, it's like, I'm going to do one of those anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might as well send it to Bracky.
I wonder if you could just, like, Xerox your butt, the way that people just, like, sit on coffee machines.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if you could do that. I feel like that's probably a pretty common question. You should call back and ask her that.
That's probably too intimate.
I don't know.
The whole thing is weird and intimate.
Okay, well, so everyone listening now knows that the phone number on Jackie Stallone's website is real. So please call and record yourself talking to her, and we will play that on the podcast.
Oh, my God,
but
yes.
Also, can you guys also, like, throw a little money her way? Because this is how she makes her living, doing rump readings.
I don't think she
And her son
money.
Is Sylvester Stallone.
And her son is Sylvester
So
Stallone.
I'm just saying, and, you know, she has to have new work done.
I mean, okay, here's the thing that's, like, perilous about becoming famous is, like, what if your mom wants to, like, make a living looking at people's butts? You basically have to say yes.
Yeah.
I don't think you do have to say yes. I think that you could, like, you can have, like, boundaries, and you can have a healthy relationship where you're like, "Mom, like, I feel that's a really cool idea, but, like..."
None of that sounds familiar.
People are going to, like, you know, laugh at you, and I think that you should maybe, like, try find something that's, like, plays to your strengths more, or just chill at home, and I'll pay for your DVR and Netflix, and you can just sit here and watch
stuff. I mean, he clearly didn't pay that much money to her webmaster to design that website.
No.
He's not throwing her that much money.
I think
money
he designed
this.
It. He's multi-talented. We forget, you know, screenwriter.
Yeah. He wrote Rocky, right?
He wrote Rocky, yeah. And I think he's a director, too. Maybe. I can't verify that right now.
He's also a candle. If you look at his face, it is melting in the way a candle would.
What's weird about Jackie is, like, her face melted. Her face full-on melted, like, 20 years ago. And, like, it was, like, pushed up. Now it looks like a fresh candle. As though, like, she was reborn.
Jackie Stallone is a reborn doll.
She looks really good right now, actually. Yeah, she looks given how she looked a while ago, she looks shockingly good.
Oh.
That concludes Wiki of the Week. Quick note here, we are still accepting Jumbotron messages. If anyone wants to go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, you can... throw us a little cash, and we'll say whatever you want.
Whether it's like a birthday message to a friend or a wedding proposal to your loved one.
Oh, my gosh. Do you want to propose to someone? Maybe me? Or Lisa?
Pay us $100.
And we'll read it, but probably say no.
Maybe. Who knows?
So you should do that. Welcome back to Baby Geniuses. We're here with Louis Peitzman. We've got a few things to talk to you about. First of all, let's talk about horror movies.
Okay.
This was your first suggestion for a topic to talk about today. You love slasher movies.
I do. I do. And I picked this as a topic because I feel like it's something I don't get to talk about on podcasts a lot.
Yeah.
It doesn't
I keep
come up,
asking and no one will let me.
It doesn't come up the way that you would expect it to.
Yeah. How have you been into them since you were like young?
No, I was terrified of horror movies when I was a kid.
Really?
Especially I was scared of Freddy Krueger, like the, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street guy. He's that guy.
Yeah.
Very scary. Yeah, I was really, really scared. And then in college, I took a class on like the horror film, and I got super into it. And now it's like my main.
What do you
my
think
go-to.
It was that like changed your mind about it?
I was a little older. So that might have been part of it.
Like, so you know it's not real anymore?
Slightly older. I still don't know it's not real. But I feel a little better equipped
like
to handle it.
I might be documentaries.
Yeah. I mean, show me the evidence that it's not real. No, I think it's just like a little bit of like...
Aside from the fact that like Sarah Michelle Gellar is alive.
I mean...
Did she die in those movies? I actually don't know.
She died in Scream 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Now you know. I think it's, like, age and also, like, coming at it from, like, a film theory, like, feminist Berkeley perspective was really exciting to me. And I was like, oh, I can do, like, a feminist reading of this. I'm all about it.
Okay, fill me in on that. What is the feminist reading of a slasher movie?
So I'm going to get some of this wrong. I guess I'm not the genius I said I was.
I feel like the subtext of this entire show, every episode is... Everyone gets everything a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
Great. So someone can correct me.
Yeah.
So Carol Clover wrote this book, Men, Women, and Chainsaws. It's like fundamental to our understanding of the slasher film. And it's basically the idea that there's a final girl. And even though slasher films are kind of like criticized for being misogynistic and like being all about violence against women, it's actually the point is that the final girl is a male point of identification. And it forces you to kind of identify with women and with female pain and the men watching the movie are actually like latching onto that and not onto the violence done to them. They're relating to a woman having violence done to her.
Oh, that's interesting.
The fact that like because women are typically like the last person alive.
Right. And so the final girl is like she's the one who lives the longest and is usually a virgin, doesn't do drugs or drink. This has all changed over time. But the final girl is the identifying point for the audience. And it's very explicitly transgressive that it's a woman and not a man. A male character.
That is really interesting. I do think that there's like an element of it of like understanding a woman's fear is really crucial to ending rape culture too. And
yes.
It's like that's a big part of those movies. Although the conceit in horror movies is that this is like this fantastical, false danger that mm-hmm. as an audience member you could be like, well, women don't have to actually deal with that.
I mean, Carol Clover also wrote there's a whole chapter in the book about rape revenge movies, which is a separate genre.
Oh,
much more controversial. But the whole point of that is, like, you know, again, criticized for showing these horrific acts of rape, but the audience is identifying with the woman, and so it becomes, like, and then you're identifying with her, like, killing all her people, the rapists and the people who attacked her. Like, you're rooting for her to kind of, like, dismember them and, like, castrate them and all this stuff. So mm-hmm. it's,
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's like those movies, by virtue of the fact that they start out with multiple characters, trick you into rooting for a female protagonist.
Yes.
Like, that you didn't know you were doing at the
right.
beginning of it.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I love Nightmare on Elm Street. I think it's, like, I love
You've
that
come
entire
around
series.
On it.
I have come around on it. And it's, yeah, I really, really have. I think Halloween is, like, one of the, like, probably the best slasher, just, like, in and of itself, like, as a standalone film. It's still terrifying. Which I appreciate. And it's also kind of set the groundwork for so much of the genre. Yeah. I mean, I'm into those, like, really classic, like, early 80s movies. And then I ignore all the shitty reboots that happen.
Did you like that Cabin in the Woods?
I did like Cabin in the Woods, yeah.
I got tricked into watching that because I really don't like scary movies. And I was told, like, oh, it's not scary. It's, like, sort
it's
of
like
meta.
Funny.
Yeah.
Did you think it was scary?
I thought it was so scary I needed to leave the theater.
Okay.
And then I came back and then I got scared and had to leave again.
Okay.
That's how I felt about Aladdin.
You.
But what? I was like 8.
Wait, what part of Aladdin was scary?
When Jafar turns into the giant snake.
That is scary.
Yeah, he turns
That's
into
scary.
A big cobra. But here's the thing. So I went to go see it on my birthday and I had already seen it. And the second time I saw it, not the first time, only the second time, I started crying and had to leave the theater.
Wow.
In front of all my friends. And it was, I guess, my 7th or 8th birthday party.
It's your party and you'll cry.
And I'll cry if I actually didn't want to, but I did anyway.
You'll cry.
Yeah. It's my party and I'll cry. Just not optional. It's just not a choice I have. I really don't like scary movies, but I also sometimes wonder if that's just like a thing that I tell myself. Because I have enjoyed myself watching them. I think it's just like not an experience that I remember fondly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I find it to be very cathartic. If you're a person like me who's like scared of everything, it's good to kind of go through that.
On your own terms.
It's the same idea of like, you know, going on a roller coaster and like having that kind of controlled fear.
That's how I felt that one time we went on that Ferris wheel.
I know, yeah.
I was so scared.
Oh my God, you really don't like being afraid of anything. The feeling of fear does not...
I don't like being out of control.
Lisa doesn't like Ferris wheels.
Uh-huh.
Ferris wheels scare her.
I liked that one.
Water slides. You liked it, but you also like really were happy when it was over.
That's true. I was happy to be alive.
Yeah,
and that feeling was cathartic.
Yeah.
It felt good.
You survived.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like a lot of rides. I don't like drop rides.
Oh, no. I hate those, too. I mean, and I'm not, like, the kind of person who's like, get on the roller coaster, pussy. Like, that's not me at all. I don't really...
Oh, is that not you?
No.
That's not just like you.
I don't like most roller coasters either, but I've, like, inched my way... Like you with slasher movies, I've, like, inched my way towards some that I can do.
Right.
And I've always liked water slides. Like, I've never...
Sure.
...been, like, yeah. I can't do the drop
ones. I don't like water slides because when I was a kid, I went on one and they told me to take my shirt off and I didn't want to. I was holding up the whole line and they were like, take your shirt off, fatty. I don't think they didn't call me fatty, but in my head
I heard
fatty. And I was like, I don't want to. And then, like, you know, everyone behind me is like getting, come on, kid, fatty, take your shirt off.
Aww.
I don't think they were calling me fatty either.
I think you, it's not that you don't like water slides, it's that you
have PTSD.
Don't like lifeguards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or taking my shirt off.
Or taking your shirt off. Yeah.
Well, there is, like, some truth to, like, exposure therapy that, like, you know, you kind of, part of getting past, like, things that cause you anxiety is just, like, being exposed to them and, like, sitting with anxiety.
I thought that has been debunked, though.
Different therapists have different ideas about that,
yeah.
I think it depends
on the phobia. Because some phobias are, like, if it's something that, like, you... I don't know. I've heard that it doesn't work for things like if you're one of those people who's afraid of cotton.
Oh.
Yeah. Like
cotton.
Exposure therapy. Like, yeah, there's like a lot of people who are afraid of cotton, like, or cotton balls.
The touch, really? The feel.
Yeah. Actually, it's the sound. Like, my friend is really afraid of cotton balls, and, like, it's a pretty common fear. I looked it up after mocking her for a long time. Because we were, like, about to do our nails, and I brought out, like, this bag of cotton balls.
Even though I'm not afraid of cotton, I just have, like, a reaction. Imagine how scared your friend was.
Yeah, me too.
An empathetic reaction.
I brought out this bag of cotton balls and, like, to use nail polish remover and take off our nail polish, and she was like, could you take this out of here? And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, I can't be around cotton balls. I'm really afraid of them. And I was like, what? And I made her explain to me, like, what it was about them. And she was like, it's just sort of like the sound that I imagine them making.
It's kind of squeaky.
Yeah.
It's
like the squeakiness.
It's not nice.
It's like knives to her.
Yeah.
And I looked it up and it's like, that's like what everyone kind of says about that fear. And like when they do those TV shows where they're like, we're going to bring out a guy covered in cotton balls. Like that doesn't do anything to stop the fear because I think it's like a genetic, like physiological thing.
Huh.
Hmm.
I don't know. Anyway.
The idea of a cotton ball man is frightening to me.
Not cotton balls on their own, just the
not
cotton
okay.
ball man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyone covered in anything, really, I'm not okay with.
Because it's just, like, it's too matchy-matchy.
Yeah. And also, it's very in your face. You can live your cotton ball lifestyle at home, but don't rub my face in it.
Yeah. Totally. I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we wanted to talk to you about was your toe.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had asked if I had any, like, medical issues.
Yeah.
Like,
just
fun medical issues.
Having you fill out our 15-page paperwork consent form
I didn't put my Social Security number down because I don't believe in leaving that for people.
Yeah.
But if you need it, just, like, text me later.
Okay.
My toe. Well, so I had a lot of ingrown toes. Toenails.
Oh, I
toenails,
had my first
yeah.
one of those last month.
That's yeah, so,
painful. So
I don't want to brag, but I had a lot of them. And I was like, I should get this checked out. And I did go to the podiatrist several times. And I won't give you the gory details of how they fix that optometrist, but it's really gross and very
painful.
I'll
give you the gory details.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you can do stuff to an ingrown toenail that's not like a procedure, but if they get bad, they have to like numb your toe and
that's what they
surgically.
Do
oh yeah, they yeah. cut off a little bit of your toenail and
yeah, they numb your toe. They like freeze it.
Do you numb it with the needles?
Yeah.
Oh, it hurts. They like
hurts.
Inject needles under your toe. It
oh,
is
yeah.
the worst.
Yeah, I had to have that done for a splinter once.
And then they
cut really
it and they basically cut off like a sliver of your toenail, like from the inside. It's so bad.
I'm
sorry.
I'm cringing. I'm sorry to everyone. And I brought this up, but so I had really bad. I had a lot, and I went to the podiatrist. And are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not that good. Let's all lower our expectations. But he was like, I'm going to take an x-ray. And I was like, that's weird. And he was like, just as I suspected, you have a bone. Your bone is a bone tumor, and it's growing straight up out of your toe. So, like, where your big toe, like, where the bone should end, it's, like, growing.
It's still growing?
Vertically, like, up.
Like a horn?
Like, you could call it a horn, sure.
A toe,
it was, like, growing
toe, shoehorn.
Growing up and, like, pushing the nail off because it was... Oh! I know, I'm sorry.
It was like a skeleton finger.
I'm so sorry.
Poking you from the inside.
Your foot is a slasher movie.
Yeah.
That's where it all comes from. No, but it wasn't, like, you couldn't see anything. Like, it just looked like an ingrown toenail, but that was, like, what was happening underneath it all to make it happen.
To make it Shakira-like.
Shakira.
Oh, wait, no.
Well, that's... I was thinking Shakira, too, so yeah, I must have been going somewhere with that.
Yeah.
There's definitely a Shakira vibe happening. So it was funny because I always, you know, went to the doctor and was like, I have a tumor. And it was like, no, you have allergies. And then this time I was like, I have an ingrown toenail. And they were like, you have a tumor.
Oh, my God.
But it was a benign tumor. It was benign. He was like, don't worry.
So what did he do about it?
They cut the bone off. Ugh. Not the whole thing. They just, like, shaved the bone down.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so is it not still growing anymore?
No, it's not growing anymore.
Oh, good.
It's fine.
Do you have to, like, get it regularly checked to see if they'll...
No, but imagine if I had to get it, like, shaved down all the time.
All the time?
No, they just... They took the nail off. Sorry. Mm. And then they shaved
is
the bone down.
Is the nail ever going to come back?
I have a tone... Yeah, it just has... It's, like, scar tissue, so it's a little janky.
Cool. I had a friend who did ballet in high school, and she used to, like, the doctor used to just give her, like, just gave her a scalpel to take home so she could cut off her own, like, the, like, gross things that grew on her toes from doing toe dancing.
That is so fucking terrible.
I know. her feet were pretty gnarly.
When Adam was running the marathon, some of his toenails turned black and fell off.
Oh God, this is
that's,
so
see
gross.
That's gross. But like, it's like they kind of it was their time. You know, like it's not as bad as
they
like
gave
if they
up. They're like
if they naturally like if they, we've all had like you know things fall off our bodies.
But your toenails, and then it's just a toe with no nail.
I know
on
it's gross. It's gross. I've had a toenail fall off though, and it's like way less traumatic because it's like it doesn't hurt really. It's
no,
it's just gross looking.
Ugh.
I'm so glad that we, like,
I'm
went
really
down this
glad
path.
I'm really glad. I mean, our listeners are probably really glad also.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Let's quickly, before we go to Expert Hour, let's talk about the Simpsons Tapped Out. Because when we were talking about the Kim K game.
I had, like, a, like, shiver of, like.
Recognition.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, I know that life. because I play the Simpsons Tapped Out, which is like Kim Kardashian Hollywood, and it's, like, a tapping game. But for The Simpsons, and it is incredibly addictive. I've been playing it for, like, over 2 years now, I would
say.
Wow.
Have you spent money on it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Someone at work was like, let's see how much money have you spent? I was like, why would I tell you that? Because it's like, I don't know. And also, it's really embarrassing. And they were, like, they kept saying numbers, and I was like, no, it's higher. It's higher. And I was like, I don't know.
You don't know how much money you spent on it?
No, I don't want to know.
Oh, wow.
Over the years, you know, but, like...
So what do they ask you to pay for?
So, like, it's, like, you know, it's premium items. So, like, it's, like, those games, you know, you kind of, like... In the game, you can have donuts, which, like, let you buy special items or, like, speed up your tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to pay for the donuts with real money in the iTunes store. And so you don't really, like, you buy the donuts, but you don't really think about, like, how the donuts actually have, like a numerical value. Like, the donuts are tied to real dollars, and so, like... You should think of them as, like, money, but you don't. It tricks you. You're like, I'm just going to buy a bunch of donuts.
It's and then like slot machine logic. Yeah. It's like they're just chips. Like, you're just playing a game. And it feels so good when you can get the special thing that you don't even think about it.
Right. And The Simpsons, it, like, preys on your nostalgia because, like, it'll be an item so, like, from some episode that you watched, like, when you were a kid. And you'll be like, I need that. Like, I need that special item.
It's like you're paying to be hungry and to have the hunger satisfied.
Right.
Yeah. It feels good. It's like a horrible cycle.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle. And I like, but I love it. I do. And I've like had moments where I don't play as much, but then they have special like events. So for holidays, yes. They'll have like events. And then also like they'll do random stuff during the year that's just like, you know, a fun little like game. It lasts for like 2 months. And so you can win more prizes and you have to pay more money.
Kim K does the same thing. They had like a St. Patty's Day
yeah.
like special thing.
It's
but what
worst.
I like about Animal Crossing is they do the same thing. They have like an Easter Day special thing today, but they don't make you pay money. Like once you buy the game, they're like, okay, now you just get special stuff and you can just.
That's nice of them.
It's kind of like a sweet game for babies. So it's like it's slightly boring. Like I wish it was a little more like. Exciting.
They were like, yeah, a little bit more, thrills.
I miss all
yeah.
the outfits from Kim K. I miss them so much.
I'm sorry.
Have so many real life clothes.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's
Emily,
not the
it's not
same.
The same, okay? Have some compassion.
I looked so cute in the game, and like I could change my skin color every day.
Oh, wow.
It was
right.
great.
Yeah. You can get a tan in real life.
No, I can't.
Right. Theoretically. But I feel like it's funny because, like, those games, like, if they said, like, you're going to spend, like, $300 on this, like, buy
yeah.
it now, I'd be like, no, are you crazy?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
But it's like, I'll download this for free. And then, like, you know, $300 later, you're like, well, it was all worth it because my Springfield looks so nice.
I had fun. Did
and I?
I
have so many characters, and they keep me warm at night.
We have to go to Expert Hour. If people want to follow you, read your brilliant writing, where can they do that?
They can follow me on Twitter at Lewis Peitzman or on BuzzFeed.com where my articles live.
And you host a live show, too.
I do host a live show
if
called Cheaper Than Therapy. It's the middle Wednesday of every month, which is...
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. I don't know when this is airing, but probably after our next show. But
okay.
Check local listings. It's at Bar Lubitsch. And,
I love Bar Lubitsch.
I co-host it with Sarah Thayer. So if you follow us on Twitter or like just glance at our Twitters, we plug it when there's another show happening. So we will let you know when we have storytellers talk about their neuroses. And then Sarah and I diagnose them as therapists.
That sounds great.
Wow, very cool.
It's very fun.
All right. It's time now for Expert Hour. Lewis Peitzman, everybody.
Yay.
What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? I don't know. We need an expert.
All right. Welcome to Expert Hour. Very excited about our expert this week. He is here to talk to us about etiquette. Please welcome Jacob Jasmine.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to our show, Jacob.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Thanks for coming.
Now, let's just jump right in. How did you become an expert in etiquette?
Well, I became an expert in etiquette one day. I tried to go to Mickey D's, McDonald's, for the layman, and they had a sign outside that said, no shirt, no shoes, no service. And I said, I want service. I want service so bad. They didn't understand that I'm the richest boy.
Oh. So you're...
Wait, what?
Okay. So...
I've got the richest daddy in the whole wide world.
Who's your dad?
I know you're kidding.
I'm not. I'm sorry. I didn't know that you came from a...
He sells the most paper towels in all of the Bay Area.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Okay. I didn't know there was so much money in paper towels. So you... Okay. Were you, I'm trying to picture this, were you wearing a shirt and shoes at this time?
Of course I wasn't.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I was just a little confused because you're wearing them now.
Right. Well, I went to the front door of the building and I tried to buzz up and I said, I want to do a podcast. And they said, no shirt, no shoes, no service. It was a very similar situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that... led to you becoming an etiquette expert.
Yes.
In what way?
In the sense that there's too much etiquette. I'm an expert in what etiquette we don't need anymore.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
I have never heard of an anti-etiquette etiquette expert. That's fascinating. Okay, so let's get into it.
What?
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 Okay.
What? I want to talk. My turn.
Okay.
I go to a restaurant and I say, give me food for my hands to eat. And they say, no, you have to use a fork and a knife. And it's too much etiquette. That's too much etiquette.
So you think people should be able to eat just with their hands whenever they want?
If they wanna, and I wanna.
All right. What other rules do you think we should do away with?
Ooh, You want the top three or the top 10?
Oh, top 10?
Top 10.
Top 10.
Yeah.
All right. Top 10 etiquette rules we have to get rid of. Number one, drab dressing at funerals?
Oh, I agree with you.
Right?
Yeah.
We're celebrating a life. I should be able to play guitar at other people's strangers' funerals.
Oh, well, okay. That's might be
Thank
too far.
Thank you for agreeing.
All right.
The number two.
Oh, my goodness.
Number two is, why is it that I can't have so much sushi that I poop myself while sitting?
Is that an official etiquette rule?
That's not one I've heard.
They told me I couldn't do it.
Who's
therefore
they?
Therefore, it's etiquette.
Who's they?
The nice, well, I was going to say Japanese, but frankly, I think he was Mexican man working at the Japanese restaurant who said, you have to stop pooping in that seat, sir.
He called you sir, which was pretty polite.
That's very polite.
But I'm a rich boy. I'm a 38-year-old rich boy.
You're 38?
That's right.
Wow, you're very youthful.
Yeah, you've got kind of like a very young attitude.
People tell me I have a lively spirit.
Okay.
Anyhow, eight more rules.
Oh, boy.
Number three. Why does a dog park have to be for the dogs? I want to bring all the iguanas.
All of the iguanas.
That's
from
right.
Where?
Well, all the neighboring Petcos and PetSmarts. I try to buy all the iguanas that each of them have within a 10-mile radius. I'm not a maniac. Bring them over to the dog park and they say, no, sir, you need to wear a shirt and shoes. And then they also object to my iguanas.
They don't I was going to say.
I'm Jacob Jasmine.
Okay, so that's three.
My daddy sells so much paper towel. Number four. The number four no etiquette rule is... I can make up any words I want.
Do you have any examples?
Goggles. Oh, goggles is already a word. Damn.
But I guess
I foiled myself.
I guess you could make up a new meaning for it.
Goggles means... to cry.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I should be able to go underwater and start screaming, goggles, goggles, and they should know that I want to cry. And they won't throw goggles at me. Four down, more than half to go.
Oh, my God.
Lewis, by the way, you can chime in at any time if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, do you have any questions?
Oh, I'm observing.
Okay, yeah. That's...
Understandable. I'm very rich and very interesting to watch and listen to.
Emily, where do we find these guests?
I'm sorry. Jesus, maybe if you would book some of them sometime.
I mean,
your booker found me on richguests.com.
You were actually the only person on there.
I made it. Number five, stop squatting all my URLs. I keep trying to make websites, and they say there's already these websites. I want to make a Google.com. Let me. I want Google.com.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Google's another word I made up. It means goggle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How many down is that?
Five down. Half of them to go.
All right.
Each one more interesting than the last.
Let's hear number six.
Number six. Home Depot furniture should be my furniture. I should be able to go into the Home Depot and use all the things they have in the Home Depot like I live there. A toilet should be a toilet, frame should be a frame, and I should enter and exit the door whenever I please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that is...
Is that one reasonable to you?
I think so.
I mean... I do think that people should be able to buy them and take them out of the store, and then at that point you should not be able to use them anymore.
Oh, that's so much work! Don't you know how many paper towels I have in my garage?
I don't.
I get them all for free from my daddy, who sells them in the Bay Area. I'm Jacob Jasmine.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Six down, four to go.
That's right. Number seven. Number seven rule is, why can't I own a state?
A state?
A state.
Which one would you like to own?
Montana.
Okay.
I emailed Montana and I said, hello, I would like to purchase your state. I have all the money in the Bay Area from all the paper towels. And they said, I'm sorry, I'm a person who lives in Montana. And I said, you can't fool me, Mr. Governor. And they refused to sell it. And I was very upset. And I wrote a very cryy email.
A goggly email?
Oh.
I get it. That's very funny and good. And what I said earlier.
Yes.
I like that very much.
All right. So, so far, a lot of these tackle etiquette rules that are not super common.
Oh, you want a common etiquette rule?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I've done 7 so far. Is that right?
Yeah.
Number 8 is a very common etiquette rule. Why does... It's modern society. A man shouldn't have to open a door for a woman. A woman should be empowered to open a door for a man.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's
and
true.
I should be empowered to break your doors with sledgehammers and bash in the windows of your cars for fun. And then take the car.
You think you should be
able to... And then drive... Wait a minute. I'm not done with my rule. I'm going to steal your car after I bash the window in, drive it into the ocean until I can make a new land bridge to another country with cars.
So you're going to steal enough cars to make a land bridge to another country.
That's right. Women should be empowered.
I guess that is the point
of
that.
If you argue against it, you sound very anti-feminist, I have to say.
I mean...
You're sounding a little bit anti-feminist.
I don't want to sound anti-feminist. I just want to be quietly anti-feminist and have no one find out.
I'm just observing, but I just wanted to say that I think you're kind of hurting the cause.
All right. Thank you.
That one's... It's tricky.
I accept your criticism.
You're welcome.
My turn to speak. Number 9. Why does there have to be only 24 hours in one stupid day? I like the days I want. The days that... The days I'm having good days, I want to go on forever. I don't want them to end, and I want the government to stop recognizing second days after the days I like.
Oh, I agree with that one.
So are you saying that it should just, like, still technically be Friday, or that, like, you want the sun to actually stop?
Ooh, at first I wanted the first thing you said, but now that you mention it, sun stop, please.
Or I mean, like, the earth to stop.
Make the sun stop, please.
I never knew that was actually an etiquette thing. I thought that was, like, a...
Yeah.
I guess, like, respecting the calendar, I guess, was... Is that an etiquette thing?
Yeah, I mean, the sun is like an etiquette issue.
It's proper Judeo-Christian etiquette to respect the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You have a very broad vision of what etiquette is in the world.
I guess I do, don't I?
Yes, it's interesting.
It's the kind of smarts you get from paper towel money.
And all your rules are questions.
Yeah.
Except for the first one.
Well, are you saying there's no real through line to my points?
I mean, they're not rules. What he's saying is these are things that we should be throwing out.
These are questions we should ask.
Okay, yeah. It's like Jeopardy. Like, the question is the answer.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We should
change
question.
Won't be accomplished if we just tell people what to do. You have to ask the question and let them come to their own conclusions. Let them come to their own conclusions about building bridges out of cars.
It's very Socratic.
Conclusion, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so one more left.
I don't want to say.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was really looking forward to this one. You're not going to say it?
Uh-uh.
Oh, come on.
All right. Well, I have...
It's very bad etiquette to say you have a list of 10 things and then only list 9 things. It's
you like... did it! You found the 10th thing!
Yay! What do I get?
100 American dollars.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Do you have that on you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to give it to her? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Lisa, this is great. Well, we have a deal where you can give
my wallet is very stuck.
All right. His wallet's stuck, I guess. Oh.
Oh, wow. He's pulling it out.
Guys, this is great.
This is great.
I just made $100.
I want money. Okay. Let's talk a little bit.
No. Never. What a visual bit. I really took out $100 and dangled them in front of Lisa.
He snatched it away.
You dropped some at your feet.
That's
also
just a $1 bill. I could burn that for all I care.
Well, I was going to take the $100 and split it with Emily. So. Aw,
damn it. Now I am invested. I wasn't invested
I was going to take the dollar bill from the floor.
Were you going to spend it on the Simpsons game?
I have some
questions.
That's
none of your business. Pretty judgmental.
That's what I'd do.
I have some questions about etiquette. I mean, like, I understand that you're not here to teach us what is and isn't good etiquette.
I can do that. I'm a very good teacher.
Okay. Well, I guess since we're on the subject of money, it feels like people are always sort of confused about, like, what is okay and not okay to talk – to say when you're talking about money with other people.
That's
well,
a good point.
I pulled out $100 to prove that I'm richer than everyone else in the room. So I think it's fun and a good idea to brag about how much money you have all the time.
Okay. What if you don't have any money? What, how should you talk about that?
I guess you just shouldn't talk.
Okay.
You haven't earned it yet.
Okay, that's a good answer. Or it's an answer.
Thank you.
Do you guys have other etiquette questions? I mean, I feel like I'm kind of perfect, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Here's another one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to hold in my farts. Is that a problem?
Oh, no, not at all. Farts are very funny, and I like them very much.
Okay. Now, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I do have a brother. Zachary Jasmine, yes.
And what does he do?
He is... What does Nicole Richie do? He's that.
Okay.
Oh, a socialite?
Like a personality.
Yeah.
Yes, he's very much a personality.
Okay. I guess that's kind of what... So do you write an etiquette article or anything like that? How do people find out about your work? Like,
go to richguest.com/JacobJasmine.
Okay.
And then I have a blog that I delete seconds after I post.
Ooh, very mysterious.
Very mysterious, yes. Yeah.
What kind of things do you write on the blog?
Well, how to let me not wear shirts is a big and common topic.
Yeah.
Frankly, that's been most of them. I did buy... Oh, you've been mentioning it earlier. I bought one of those creepy little baby doll things.
Oh, you did? A reborn doll. You bought
a reborn doll.
What are you doing with it?
I wanted to own a person, and Daddy said that's not okay, so I got a reborn doll instead. And it's like owning a person.
There you go. What a great use.
What do you do with it?
Well, I put it in a seat, and I show it movies I think it'll like. And I toss them at people on the streets, and while they try to catch the baby, I steal their wallets.
Wow.
What else do I do with the baby?
I don't know if that's, like, the best use for it.
Yeah. Seems like a waste.
Oh, I...
Well, it's not a waste. It's just more, like, unethical.
I don't need the money.
Other people's wallets.
But it's paying for itself that way.
That's true.
I guess so.
I don't know if you knew this, but I'm very rich. I have the dad's wealthiest daddy.
You have the dad's wealthiest daddy?
That's right.
Yeah.
My grandfather was very rich.
Oh, wow. I mean, I did know that. Like, you did say that first.
No, I said my daddy was very rich. I didn't tell you my daddy's daddy.
How did your daddy's daddy get rich?
Well, it was very competitive, but he sold toilet paper. They're natural enemies. Paper towels and toilet paper?
Really?
Are they? You can't use paper towels in the toilet.
I've done it.
Okay. Well,
of course you have.
How did that end for you?
It's very poor etiquette.
Well, they kicked me out of Home Depot, of course.
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of other etiquette questions I've had in the past. It's like, it's hard to know. I mean, yeah, I think I agree with you.
I could really quickly tell you 10 more new etiquette rules if you want.
Oh, I think that's 10 too many.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm sweating. That was actually the whole question. It was more of an observation. But I felt like you might appreciate it because you seem like someone who announces things about yourself.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm very dry right now. I'm too dry. Someone get me wet.
I mean, it's just the four of us in here. I don't know if anyone has that capability.
I'm actually pretty moist.
Do you have
Yes.
So you're the richest little boy in the world, but you're 38 years old.
That's right.
Do you have a family? Are you married? Are you?
I have a daddy and a brother.
Oh, right. But are you dating? Do you have any dating etiquette tips? I think that people get really confused on first dates.
I started an account on this website called Ashley Madison, which is a very fun website where very fun fancy men meet very fancy women. But no one would tolerate all of my quirks.
That sounds really sad.
I haven't even gotten into my bedroom quirks.
What are your bedroom quirks?
Well, I need to keep my shirt on and shoes on at all times. People don't like that very much.
So you're kind of like a reverse patron.
I guess.
Is that like a your sexual fetish?
Being a reverse patron?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you had to describe my overall sexuality, it would be reverse patron. I ask
erotic.
People for money, and I give them hamburgers.
Okay, all right.
That's like the hottest thing I've heard in a long time.
Well, I think we're running out of time. We have time for
no!
just like a...
I want to talk for 30 more minutes.
Oh, my goodness, no.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess I've noticed, like, in terms of an etiquette expert, you are very rude. and also, I guess, just in terms of a person, you're very rude.
Very good. That's a fun new word I made up. Rude means good. And good means tasty.
Okay, well, that's not how I meant it. I guess I just meant, like, how considering etiquette serves a purpose in society, which is to sort of ease interactions between people without hostility. Do you feel like your system has helped or hurt you?
It's definitely helped me.
How it's helped you? How so?
It helped me be very rich and very happy and very yelly at people. I love being very yelly at people. I fart in their face. Farts are very funny to me. Here's 10 more rules.
No,
okay,
all right.
We are out of time. it is time now for... It's time now for What Did I Learn?
Oh, may I plug something very quickly?
Yeah, you can plug something.
Follow Jake Riegel on Twitter. He's a weird idiot I found.
Okay.
What did I learn?
It's time now for What Did I Learn. Lisa, what did you learn today?
I think being rich is bad based on...
It sounds really fun
things
to me.
I just heard. I don't know. It seems just kind of bad all around. And I learned about that Simpsons game, which I really, really want to download, but I'm not going to let myself do it.
Don't do it.
I know what will happen.
Jacob, Jasmine, what did you learn today?
Today I learned one. Lesson number one is...
Louis Peitzman, what did you learn today?
I learned that I can't abide long lists.
Which is very surprising for a BuzzFeed writer.
I work at BuzzFeed. and I learned that there are other people who have the same sexual fetish that I do.
Oh, wow.
Reverse patron?
Yeah, so that was exciting for me. Yeah.
I learned that the psychiatric community is sort of split on whether or not reborn dolls are healthy for bereaved parents.
Yeah.
But I guess that's it. That's the only thing I learned today. and just I learned that I'm, like, really proud of myself for not playing any of those games, because I think I would definitely start spending that money.
Yes.
That is our show. Please,
oh, my goodness.
Continue to rate and subscribe on iTunes. That's so nice of you when you do that.
We love it.
Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller.
I'm at Lisa Draws.
Send us pictures of your butts.
Yeah.
We will analyze them a la Jackie
analyze.
Simone. We actually probably won't do that. BabyGeniusesPodcast@gmail.com.
Donate to Max Fun.
Yeah, please donate to our show.
Tell them you listen to us.
Yeah. Come see me on tour. EmilyHeller.tumblr.com/tour.
And
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yay!
Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.